We love the Enneagram as a tool because it helps us to better understand ourselves and better understand others. In previous podcast episodes, we've focused on how we can best understand ourselves using the tool of the Enneagram, but today we are sharing ways we can best love, live with, work with, and teach others who are Enneagram Type 2s.
We guarantee that you have a few type 2s in your life, and in the next 20 minutes or so, we are going to share ways you can best love, work with, and teach them. You'll be glad you listened, and they will be too, because as a result of learning about the Enneagram type, your communication will improve, and your misunderstandings will dramatically decrease. Let's get started. Welcome to the Inspired Together Teachers podcast.
We're Paula and Michelle, award-winning educators who've worked with thousands of teachers, and we know the struggles that you face on a daily basis.
Do you want to make a difference and still enjoy your life outside of school?
Together, we can tackle the overwhelm, gain clarity, and build confidence to live the life you deserve.
Are you ready to be inspired? We can't wait to explore ways to improve your work life and home life so that you can live your best life.
We are both certified Enneagram trainers, and we love to talk about this amazing tool that helps us to best understand ourselves and others. We have long held the belief, haven't we, Michelle, that all teachers can benefit from this free and very useful tool.
We all have our own Enneagram types, one of nine types identified and explored through the Enneagram. Each Enneagram type has its own patterns of behavior, its own motivations, and its own ways of being in the world.
Let's say you're an Enneagram type 8. You see the world and you respond to your surroundings through the patterns and lenses of an Enneagram type 8. However, the odds of you being surrounded by only 8s is nearly impossible. Likely, you are going to encounter all 9 Enneagram types each day, maybe even before lunch. Each Enneagram number thinks and acts differently.
Today, we are going to explore how to best understand and communicate with those type 2s in your home, your friends group, your school, and your classroom. Having this understanding will make those interactions with 2s in your life easier and more pleasant. And we even have our very own in-house type 2. Yes, Paula is the poster child for type 2.
I most definitely am. As I talk about 2, you'll hear me say, I feel this. Yes. A few words of caution, though, before we dig in to learning about the Enneagram type 2. Whether or not you know your type, we always recommend that you learn about all of the different types. You might recognize yourself, but you might also recognize patterns in other people. The Enneagram is a tool for personal growth and transformation, but its power is in better understanding yourself and in better understanding others. You look for the patterns of all of the types, and then that will open the door to better relationships and better supporting those people we know, work with, and love.
We also don't recommend that you try to type others. You can definitely see their patterns, which you can apply this information today. But we can't always type others because we don't always know the motivation behind what they do. We can see the behaviors, but sometimes the Enneagram type depends on the motivations behind it. And we also never recommend that we really type children because they're still forming their behavior patterns. What we do know that we can see some patterns and we can deal with those patterns. So that's what we're hoping for here, not that you're going to go out and try to type all the students in your class, because that is not a good activity.
Always remember that we're more than just our type. We don't want to get pigeonholed into thinking that we only have our type and that's all we are. Our type is one way of looking at who we are as an entire person. There is the saying that all theories are wrong and yet some are useful. We know the Enneagram to be a very useful tool, but it's not always perfect. So be careful not to just type yourself or others and get stuck in that mindset.
Let's go ahead and take a look at the Enneagram Type 2. Think of people you know, your friends, family, colleagues, and the students that you teach. Here are some of the patterns, behaviors, or phrases that you might see that would be typical of a type 2. First of all, 2s fall into the heart type. They lead with their heart. If you listen to our earlier series, we talked about 3 different types of intelligence, one being the heart type. They lead with their hearts. They bleed with their heart. It's often very easy to see and understand when someone is a heart type because they're all up in their heart all the time.
Twos are often the givers in the room. They love to give of themselves, give gifts, give, and give because they're empathetic. Sometimes they are empathetic that it might even get in the way of relationships. When we talk about Enneagram patterns, we look at the positive patterns and some that could be perceived negative or that are negative. Givers give and they are empathetic, but sometimes to the point that it can actually hurt relationships.
Oftentimes, twos don't think with their heads, they follow their hearts. They think from a heart-centered approach. They will even say, I feel in my heart that. And then you know that they are a heart type and that that is important to them.
I will often say, just follow your heart, what's in your heart, which doesn't make sense to somebody who's a head type or a gut type, but it makes sense to me as a heart type.
Yeah, twos are also very compassionate. They will offer to help, to fix things, and sometimes offer unsolicited advice. They're the helpers. They care about people and they want to help people.
Twos often feel like their life's work is to help and to support others, often at the expense of their own needs. Twos will give freely to others, but often forget to take care of themselves.
They can be very loving and very generous, sometimes to a fault, as Paula said, sometimes to the point where they're helping and, you know, loving on all their people and doing all the things for everyone else, and they're exhausted and not taking care of themselves.
In that helpfulness, they may become overly people-pleasing or use that helpfulness to manipulate others. Just want to stop here a little bit because we talked about ones in the last episode, type ones being people-pleasers in the classroom. Twos are also people pleasers, but for a totally different motivation. Ones are people pleasers because they just want to get it right. Twos are people pleasers because they just want the people to be happy. They want everyone around them to be happy. So that's when we're talking about the motivations of people. It's the same behavior, people pleasing, but it's done for different reasons. One, because they want to get it right and get it perfect. And twos, because they just are loving on everyone and they want to make sure they're happy so they will please them.
Also, twos get that feeling of worthiness when they feel like they're helping other people. That gives them worth in their head. So again, yeah, it's a great example, Paula, of how we can have perhaps a behavior that looks the same, but it's there for different reasons for different types.
Twos can be described or may describe themselves as clingy or martyr-like. I do so much and you don't recognize it, right? You might hear that from a two when they've reached their boiling point. They've given and given and then they don't feel like they're being recognized.
They don't want to be rejected. They want their people close. And so that lack of appreciation or feeling unloved is really hurtful for a type two. They're not people that can just brush it off. They care so deeply and they don't want to be rejected. So they will do all the helpful things so that they're useful and valued.
You may see lots of twos in your school life. Twos are drawn to working in schools. They're helpers, they're carers, they're givers. They are drawn to a school setting because you get to do all of those things in a school. Let's take an example of a type two you could potentially work with in your school. Let's say that you just have a wonderful paraprofessional in your classroom named Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith loves the kids. She makes sure that they all know how much she appreciates them and loves them. And the kids love Mrs. Smith back.
So Mrs. Smith is always smiling with them and noticing all the great work they do. However, sometimes she helps a little too much. When she is working with a student and they get stuck on a problem, they start to look stressed. She'll give them the answer so that they will be happy again. And you can see that that could have negative impacts on student learning.
You know that you need to talk to her about this, but you're worried that if you say something, she's going to take offense and really take it to heart because she believes she is doing and helping the way that the students need. She always goes above and beyond. She's always making sure every teacher, every para on the team is recognized. She gives them compliments and little gifts. You want to talk to her about overdoing it with the kids, and you might actually want to talk to her, too, about the degree that she gives, because you're watching her, and you're getting a little bit worried that she's going to burn herself out before the year is over. I've worked with lots of Mrs. Smiths. I may have even been one at some time. Does Mrs. Smith sound like someone that you have worked with?
You're probably also thinking about what a type 2 child would look like in the classroom. They're the ones who want to be the teacher's helper. They offer to assist the substitute and volunteer to walk the kid with the bloody knee to the nurse's office. Type 2 students are fairly easy to identify in a classroom as they are always trying to help make your life easier as a teacher. However, they might have needs that you've not yet considered. You may wonder, why are they so clingy? Or sometimes they seem to manipulate their peers with kindness. Or you might be wondering how to show your appreciation for all that they do. Learning tips and strategies for interacting with a type 2 is crucial in building and maintaining relationships with them.
Here are some tips and strategies for working effectively with people who exhibit these type 2 patterns. First and foremost, remember that they, as 2s, are likely not driven by the same things you are. What motivates you may not motivate them. That's one of the biggest mistakes we make as humans. We think other people are motivated by what we are motivated by. 2s are motivated by that heart-centered giving approach. And if you're not a 2, you may not have the same motivations they do.
There's a misunderstanding in the world in general about motivation. There's some sort of feeling or expectation that we might all be motivated by the same thing. A certain thing will motivate everyone. That is so not true. And the Enneagram really points that out, how different people are motivated in different ways. That's a benefit in understanding that, especially if you're one of those people who say, this class is not motivated, this kid's not motivated. They're maybe not motivated the way you are motivated. So you don't understand what motivates that person.
Another tip is that in your interactions, both positive and the tough conversations that you have to have with a type 2, remember and consider what is motivating them and driving their behaviors to better influence your own actions toward them. So as we're talking about these motivations, think about when they're doing something that's making you upset. These are the key motivators of a type 2. So this is what you should be thinking, oh, that's why they're doing it. 2s want to be loved. They want to be able to express that love for other people. They need to be needed. They need to be appreciated. And they need to have others notice them and validate all of the things that they are doing for others. That is the motivation that is driving them.
In working with type 2s, you can determine their strengths and their hidden potential. And then when you see that, find ways to incorporate these more into your relationship. I love that, especially for teachers. I love the idea of seeing people's strengths and seeing their potential and helping them to see it.
Not only can you consider what you know their strengths are of 2s in their work life and their home life, you can help them to see their own strengths and develop them. Help them to see what motivates them and what their strengths are, and then help them to recognize when they're doing it and to give themselves that little pat on the back so you don't need to be doing it for them.
And also with working with 2s, remember they're all about their heart. And sometimes that they have a very gentle heart. Consider how you can address potentially negative patterns in a positive way. If you yell at 2s, they are devastated. They cannot take it. They will cry, especially when they're really, really young. So you have to approach any kind of talking about anything that's negative or negative patterns or behaviors that you're seeing in a really kind and loving and gentle way when you're talking with 2s.
And that's not even just the 2 kids in your classroom. That's your 2 friends, your 2 partner, your 2 children. That is how 2s live and show up in the world. So being gentle with them, because the last thing they want is for you not to love them. And harsh words can make them doubt your love for them.
It always reminds me when I think of that, of a golden retriever that used to have. I'm not saying people are dogs, but I'm saying we had a golden retriever, and I think she was a type 2 because she was loving, helpful, gentle, sweet, and kind. But if she ever did anything wrong and we even raised a voice in a little bit, she was devastated. She would hide for hours, and really a type 2 pattern.
As a type 2, I can tell you if someone says something to me, I will relive that conversation. What did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? How could I have made that better? I think they might be angry at me. That is how I live in the world. I'm a 2. That's how it works. If you're not a 2, you walk away from a conversation and might feel really good about it, but the 2s might still be perseverating on it. So let's talk about the strengths and challenges that a type 2 might have, and then some opportunities and how you can grow in your relationship with 2s and to help them grow in their communication with the world around them.
I'll talk about the strengths of twos. Twos are very nurturing. They are the nurturers. Again, you know, that's one of the things why so many twos go into careers like education and nursing, because they're so nurturing. They're caring, warm, generous, very generous with their time and their energy and their love. They are very empathetic, enthusiastic, loving, compassionate, and helpful.
And I'll talk about the challenges, because it won't sound like I'm judging, since I'm a two myself, and I can attest that these are real challenges of a two. Twos can sometimes be preoccupied with gaining the approval of the people around them. They want to be loved and they want that approval. Twos can be clingy. These are the kids who want all the friends in the classroom. They want everybody to like them. And the kids are sort of like, back off a little bit. You're in my space. But they are doing it as a way to surround themselves with friends. So think about that when you have twos in your classroom. They often will fall into kind of this martyr-like state, like nobody really understands. I gave. And they may not even be saying it out loud, but know that they might be thinking it. And twos can sometimes be seen as being manipulative, or they can be manipulative by using that kindness to manipulate others or maybe make others feel guilty. Like I just said, look at all the things I did for you and you didn't recognize it. Twos can also be a little indirect. That's a challenge of twos. They don't want to come out and say it right away because they don't want to hurt your feelings, because they know it would hurt their feelings. And so sometimes they beat around the bush a little bit. You're like, just say what you need to say, two. Let's hear it. And they can be a little bit prideful, and sometimes they can give so much that they don't take care of themselves. That's a notorious two tendency, to let themselves go, I don't have time to go do this for myself because I'm so busy doing things for others. Twos can experience burnout because of that.
And that leads us right into the opportunities for growth in your relationship with twos, because twos will give and give and take no time for themselves and not do the things for themselves that they do for others. So twos can use those gentle reminders that they need to take care of themselves like they do for everyone else, because they can burn out and they can feel unappreciated. In other words, I'm saying, if you're not a two, try not to take advantage of the twos in your life and just let them do all the things all the time. Help them see that they need to slow down and take care of themselves.
You can also help the twos in your life to set boundaries as to how much is too much of helping other people. Teach the twos that it's okay to say no. You can model that for them. Look, I said no and it was okay. That they can say no to others and maintain their own physical and emotional health. That's all right. Notice when they do set those boundaries and celebrate with them. I noticed how you said no. That was amazing. Because that two is probably walking around feeling guilty that they said no to something. So if you can help say, I really like how you said no to taking on that extra committee or to teaching this extra class that you didn't have to, that was a really good boundary for you to set. That's the nicest thing you can say to a two when they say no because they're walking around feeling guilty.
The next one I like because it kind of applies to all of the types, but when you see the patterns, when you see strengths in someone, and this is really particularly applicable to type twos, give them roles or jobs or tasks where their strengths can be appreciated and their challenges reduced. Twos love to be needed. So if somebody falls on the playground and is bleeding, the two will love to be asked to stop playing ball and take the friend to the office to get the Band-Aid. It's a perfect type of an example for that.
When you notice that twos are displaying some of those challenging patterns that we mentioned earlier, be gently honest with them. I like how you said that earlier, Michelle. Just be gentle with them as you're explaining what it is that maybe they did that other people didn't like or that was perceived as being ineffective in a relationship. Do it gently with the two. They need that a little bit more than the other numbers.
For those of us who are not twos, that can be really difficult sometimes because we're not thinking that way. We're just like, let me just tell you this. You got to get in their head and see how are they going to take this message. That's where that gentleness comes in with twos.
Just saying thank you or giving them a hug or a card, it can go a long way with a type two. I know that sounds silly, but as a two, if I'm the one who's always giving the cards or giving the presents or making sure that my car is packed with snacks when we go somewhere, for someone to notice and say, I noticed that you did that. Thank you. Or here's a special card just for you because of all the things that you've done to help other people. Twos thrive on that. So just that little thank you, that hug, whether you have a two child in your home, a two friend, a two coworker, or a two student. Letting them know that you notice what they're doing goes a long way with a type two.
Twos will notice what you need. Paula always, you know, is like, Michelle, do you need a coffee? Should we go get a coffee? Try to turn that back also and notice what they need, as they're not going to tell you. Encourage them to listen to their own hearts, their heads and bodies, to notice what it is that they need and express it to you or to others.
And as Michelle said earlier, be mindful not to take advantage of a two's generosity. It's really easy to do that if they're always the giver, but make sure that they don't always end up being the giver. Every once in a while, take a little of that responsibility off the two, or at least acknowledge that they're doing it so they don't feel like you're taking advantage of them.
Good advice. And I know it can be easy to do sometimes because we just expect that the twos are going to do things, and they do. In conclusion, people who are Enneagram Type 2s are wonderful assets to our lives. They love hard, are helpful, empathetic, and natural nurturers. They want to show their love for others and fear not being loved in return. They may view and show up in the world in a very different way than you do, but by recognizing their strengths and challenges and understanding some strategies to best live with, love, work with, and teach them, you can make everyone's lives easier.
Today, we explored how to best understand and communicate with Type 2s in your home, your friend group, your school, and your classroom. Having this understanding will make the interactions with 2s in your life easier and much more pleasant.
In true teacher fashion, we end our podcast with homework. Our homework for you today is to take what you learned about the Enneagram Type 2s and use it in an interaction today with someone who displays Enneagram Type 2 patterns in either your work life or your home life. Consider what motivates them and how to best communicate with them. You will be amazed at how your communication will improve and your relationships will grow.
Before we close today, we'd just like to encourage you to share these Enneagram episodes with your friends, your teacher colleagues, maybe even a spouse or someone else who could benefit from learning about the Enneagram. Our goal is to grow this community that has a better work life, a better home life, a better life all around from what we've learned. And the Enneagram can help us do that. So please share some of these Enneagram episodes and tell us how it went. We'd love to hear how your discussions with your teacher friends go after you share the Enneagram episodes with them.
That's all for today. Class dismissed.
Thanks for listening to today's episode.
If you'd like to continue the conversation, join us on Instagram and Facebook at Inspired Together Teachers, or head over to our website, inspiredtogetherteachers.com, for more podcast episodes, our award-winning blog, and free guides to help you be your best.
Until next time, may you be inspired in your work life and home life to live your best life.